Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 202 of MMT Millennial Movie Talk. It's a movie and TV show podcast where four Australians get together and chat about the things they love, which is film and TV.
NFTs.
NFTs. What? No, dear God,
we
no.
We love them.
Oh, please, no.
We're here to talk about all of our favourite NFTs.
Oh, yeah?
Christian, what's your favourite?
The monkeys.
The monkey with
the monkeys. Monkeys.
I love how this, like, the NFTs are so relevant all of a sudden, like, so quickly. Like, even this joke is, like, 6 months past relevancy.
Yeah, they've already completely fallen out of relevance in the same
like,
amount
no
of time.
No one talks about NFTs anymore. Everyone's on AI. And where are you making an NFT joke?
Except the one or two companies that are just catching up, like, releasing their big NFT right now.
Yeah.
We love NFTs. They're our favorite.
Bless.
Buy NFTs.
Please do, God. You won't regret it. Alex has wasted so much money on NFT. No, not quite.
What are we doing? What are we doing now, Brad? What's our first course of action?
First course of action. This is actually a pretty chock-a-block episode of Millennial Movie Talk. We've got a lot happening. It's been a big movie release, but
oh yeah,
we're going to start off with our annual event.
That we
apparently missed a week of. We're starting a week late, apparently.
A year and a week.
A year and a week.
Did
we didn't
forget
do it
to
last
do it last year?
Yeah.
Got to do it last year.
Oh, my God.
A lot of things happened last year, COVID.
Yeah, the last three years.
We were still in the transition of coming online.
True, yes. Yes, okay, that's fair then. That's fair. Well, we're back with a vengeance. And we're here for the 2023 Summer Movie Draft, in which we fantasy league it up and we each pick our votes on what's films of the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. What films are going to be the highest grossing films for the summer box office season?
We have picked 24 films all to draft.
Yes.
25, actually. We will pick 24. One will get undrafted and have maximum shame.
Oh, my God. And then it's going to be hilarious if that one gets more box office than something we picked.
I know. So, bless you might be thinking, oh, my God, Alex, why is Alex first? He's not. We've got the wheel.
The wheel.
The wheel. The wheel. I don't know how to start the wheel. Click to spin them.
That's in big letters.
The giant writing
or control,
on it.
Or control enter if you really need some more help.
I'll do a control enter. Fuck yeah.
God. There we go. Who's going first?
Who's got first pick?
First pick.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
slow down.
Of course he did.
Yeah, big surprise.
He's done that.
Incredible.
How has he wormed his way to this?
We're watching a recording right now, aren't we?
Yeah, Alex definitely a recording.
Is first pick.
Alex's first pick. And second pick will be?
Second pick. Da-da-da-da. Watch it just be alphabetical. Oh, no.
No.
Well, Michael's second pick.
Michael's second pick. All right. Well done, well done.
And third pick.
This decides who gets last pick.
Now, Brayden.
So close.
It's unfortunate that you are last, but it's serpent order, so you get two picks in a row.
Oh, I'm happy with that. I'm okay with that.
You know, and let's just figure out who's going next.
That could work out well in my favor.
So who's going last?
Who's going last? I wonder. It's Ned Yarb.
Brandon!
Whoa.
Who would have guessed?
Incredible.
And now it's Gray.
Awesome. All right. Let's get into these picks because I was just glancing at this before we started and Jesus Christ, this is difficult.
Yes, it is difficult.
Now reiterating for those at home who haven't played this before, we're going for highest grossing box office, not best films.
Yeah something's happening. Mm. What's this square?
You good?
Okay, no one's... Yeah, I think I'm good. All right.
All right.
Now, what is Alex going to pick?
Alex
it's hard.
First.
So
I feel like
number one,
tough.
with the first pick in first this pick. Year's summer box office draft, what is Alex going to pick?
I feel like underneath this section of the audio only podcast, just to, you know, because there's not pretty pictures to look at while you're listening to the podcast, I might put some like game show like thinking music underneath the whole thing.
Oh yeah, like countdown.
Yeah, clock? because at least the YouTube people get to look at like Alex looking at the posters and trying to decide, and the audio listeners are just gonna hear thinking noises.
He's made his decision.
I haven't. Yep. The annoying part.
Going for a vowel or a consonant.
Alex, you also want to check the MMT chat. Because I've gotten a message from my dad.
Oh god. Oh god.
You gotta have that YouTube chat open.
I can't. Then what YouTube chat?
Yeah.
Oh wait, do you mean what MMT chat? It's empty.
No, right. The YouTube chat.
I gotta focus. I got pick one.
Alright, you make your first pick, then you check that.
See, it's hard because Guardians
YouTube live chat.
Guardians is Marvel. It's a surefire.
It's a tough one.
I can see your dad's comment, Brayden.
Okay, cool.
What did he comment? He picked the Meggy Coward?
He said, Meg 2, Statham Bites Back.
Thank you.
He's so excited for the Meg 2.
As he should be.
See, it's hard. I want to go with what I think is going to be the best film of the summer.
Are you going with your heart rather than your brain? But,
no, I gotta go my brain. I have to back the Marvel train.
Yeah, I was.
You see, I have an internal argument going on here. Second pick, because there's something that carried so much weight in the last draft. My picks.
Was that?
And that was fast. That was fast. So there's his little inkling that I should take it. But
it was my. No, I'm gonna let Michael talk. I'm not going
to
give anything away.
We can discuss little bits of picks and reasonings.
As picks are getting picked, we can talk about those films because, like, I feel like Guardians is obviously, like, Marvel train, safe bet. Good bet.
Yeah, for sure.
Go and make a lot of money.
I think I've got it. Oh, no, I don't like this already.
And for those waiting for our Guardians review, that'll be later this episode, so don't worry.
I might have to also jump on the Marvel train and pick.
That was my other pick.
Yeah, I'm taking Spider-Man.
That was what I was tossing up between.
I didn't
and
even
Raiden's
hear.
Raiden's internally screaming at me.
What did Alex pick? I didn't even hear.
Guardians. I picked Guardians.
Of course. 3. Yep.
Are you not watching, Chris? It is on the screen.
Oh, I've got my own picture of the names up because stream quality.
That's fair. Yeah, Chris's audio would probably
fall into a garbage moment, fire. I can actually see the tear clearly. It's not.
Yeah, it's nice. Just having a clear image. Thanks, Australia. It is. Chris, what you eyeing up?
Chris.
Oh, I'm eyeing up a few. I think I will have to join the superhero train.
Ooh.
And go with the Flash.
Ooh. Going in at pick 3, round 1, the Flash.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Brayden.
Christian.
Fun fact: my first pick has not been picked.
Was it Indy?
No. Put Barbie in there.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh, Brayden.
Everyone and their mother's brother's cousin's uncle is going to go see Barbie.
Look, yeah, I was hoping that fell down to me because that was going to be my next pick.
I'm pretty.
Now, Brayden, you got another pick.
I'm pretty happy with that. Oh, another pick.
I can tell you, me and all my friends are going to see the new Ken movie, 100%.
Okay, now, second pick. This is where it gets tough.
Here's why I wasn't eyeing off Barbie straight away. It's opening the same day as Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Exact same time.
There's going to be a bit of con.
I don't know. Do people care about Oppenheimer? Like, obviously we do.
I think movie people do.
Movie buffs.
It's Nolan. It's IMAX.
Non-movie buffs are who makes the money for these. Yep. For these. All right. Who buys the tickets?
So, Brayden, you got another pick?
Yes. I'm between two, and I'm trying to decide because...
Flip a coin.
That's a good question. I don't have
I
a
reckon
coin.
You should take the Meg just for your dad, Brayden.
Yeah, we'll see if it's still up when it comes back around.
He doesn't
around.
Have that much faith in it.
I have a camera lens that I'm going to flip. So the Sony side is going to be that.
We don't have money.
Ooh. Mission Impossible.
Oh, you can't.
Dropped a hard C-bomb.
It is your turn.
God damn. Okay. Fun fact, it was between Mission Impossible and Fast and Furious.
I'm going to take the easy kids film here. Go Little Mermaid.
Yeah, that's fair. That was based on.
Gonna Chris take the kids is honestly going to pick blue posters.
A lot of people taking the... Yep.
Based on The Lion King and everything, I'd say bet.
I'm now going to take the one I was conflicting with for pick number one. I'll take Fast 10. Well, Fast 5. 10.
Bet you can take Fast 5.
And mine's easier. I'm taking Indy.
Yeah. Wow. Whoa, that was quick.
Whoa.
So many off the board.
Yeah, look, I think I'm just going to have to take another safe pick and Oppenheimer.
Ooh, yep.
Okay.
Okay. You picked Fast 10, surely.
I did.
I'm just seeing the quality there. Then I think my next pick.
Would you like to know what's gone?
I can see.
Okay. Literally, the top 10 is gone. That's literally all that is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is too.
You know what? We'll jump on the kids' movie train. Let's go Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You motherfucker.
I like it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Last pick.
Oh. Pissed. I was exactly what I was about to pick. Oh. Okay. Okay. What are we doing here?
You took my Tom Cruise.
God damn it.
Sorry, I got Harrison.
You've got two here, Brayden.
Yeah, I do as well.
Well, by the way, guys, I love
this. You having fun?
I love this. This is my bread and butter.
This
is so much fun.
I'm going
to love
the
Transformers.
With.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you just tell Chris to shut up?
Yes.
Okay, so I have two picks here. So I'm going to go with Blue Beetle and Bring It On Home, the Meg 2, the Trench.
Okay.
What are you selecting, Chris?
You know what? It doesn't get enough love. Transformers. Come on, there's one or two.
There is a reason fans. I didn't want you to bring it up. It's because I wanted it, you bastard.
There's one or two fans of the series that'll go see that one.
There's a couple. Sure. This one's set in the 90s. There's the beasts.
You see, I think my dilemma last time is I think I had The Conjuring or whichever big
horror movie of the year.
And yeah. I just don't
so
think
this
they
is interesting.
Make...
Insidious, this is one that's going back to the original family from the first two films.
Okay.
Mm. And directed by Patrick Wilson.
This popular
series. I know people.
A lot of people will watch them.
To Michael's fairness, it has dropped off. But also, the last time we did a draft was when Warner Brothers were releasing shit on video the same day.
Yeah,
they
true.
Were releasing stuff in theaters.
Yeah.
All of these, I can confirm, are coming to theaters only.
Yeah.
Okay.
I chose nothing that would be coming out in limited, or these are all getting wide release.
Yeah. Nice.
Look, all right. For that reason, I will back the horror train. Because I know people will go see it. It's just how many people. I'll back the horror train. I'll take it.
Okay. I'm also going to back the horror train and take Haunted Mansion.
really horror.
Did not know we were doing a Haunted Mansion. Is it a redo?
Yeah. Danny DeVito and Owen Wilson.
This is of the Eddie Murphy original.
The Eddie Murphy vehicle.
Beautiful.
I got one more.
You do got one more.
Here's my thing. What's going to get more butts and seats? There's four I'm tossing up between here.
Ooh.
I don't think Wes Anderson's getting butts and seats. I think he's getting the Cinema Bros.
Which one's his?
Yeah, there's the Cinema Bros.
Is his Stray?
No, Asteroid City.
Oh.
Oh, yep. Okay.
No Hard Feelings is a Jennifer Lawrence R-rated comedy.
Yep.
R-rated though.
Yeah. Gran Turismo. I think I've got to go Gran Turismo.
Ooh.
That was my next.
Yeah. PG PG-13 based on a game, so that's going to get people interested. Yep. And some people might just be interested in the racing aspect.
And yeah, there's going to be a lot of dads and their sons.
Yeah,
I believe in that director's ability to pull something out of the hat there, even though it looks like a very strange coming together.
See, I reckon you took you took the thing. I was going to go No Hard Feelings, but then the same reserve of it being only, like,
Strays is also R-rated as well, even though it's a movie about dogs.
Yeah, fucking talking weird.
But then an 18, R-18.
That's why I put, this is why I put the ratings in the thing, because it does have something to consider.
What's that, what's that old boogeyman? What's that?
It comes out in a few weeks. It's a horror film with,
I can only assume it's a John Wick prequel.
It's a movie based on a Stephen King short.
Okay.
Thing is, I've already got Insidious, then, so I don't know if I want to keep like.
Oh, someone already made The Boogeyman in 2005, so it's a remake.
How'd that one review?
Let's go The Machine.
The Machine.
The Machine.
Starring Mark Hamill.
Did you say Mark
Chris,
Hamill?
You're up.
All right.
Mark Hamill's in The Machine.
Now, what do we have left? We don't know anything about any of these.
We've got Asteroid City, which is the Wes Anderson film. No Hard Feelings, which is the Jennifer Lawrence R-rated rom-com. Strays, which is Will Ferrell, Jamie Foxx voicing dogs who swear.
Yeah, I'm going with Strays. That's my R-rated pick.
Immediately.
I was looking at the dog picture on the poster and I was like, that's mine.
Oh my god. Amazing.
Brayden, you're up.
All right. I am going to go with No Hard Feelings and Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken.
Oh, that could be a sleeper because it's a kids film.
Kids films, man.
I did consider that did cross my mind, the fact that
those parents got to keep those kids busy somehow.
They do. All right. Chris.
I was happy to see Ruby Gilman still be there by the time he came around. That was my one, like, okay.
I'm tied up between Wes Anderson and Boogeyman.
And Oogie Boogie.
Boogeyman just to be a meme pick for me. Don't know anything about it, but yeah, sure.
Hey, pick.
Yeah, because Wes Anderson, they don't make a lot of money, but they don't cost a lot of money to make.
Somehow, because they have all those actors.
It's on profits, or...?
Alright, I think we'll go Boogeyman. We're gonna leave my man Wes out to dry, I think.
And Michael, what are we picking?
Who's in Joyride?
That's what I literally just looked
Stephanie
up.
Stephanie Sue.
Oh, okay, yep. Oh, she's good.
Nominated for an Oscar.
Mm. Oh, that one. Yeah, I might take Joyride.
Okay. Are we really letting Wes Anderson go undrafted? Because I'm taking Talk To Me. I said if Talk To Me was on the board by the end of this, I'll take it because I don't want Raka Raka's first directorial debut to go...
Go unpicked.
Go unpicked.
That is their thing.
Really?
Yeah. This is their proper film. They took it to Sundance and it got bought by A24.
Damn. Good on them. Sorry, Wes.
Crazy.
Poor old Wes.
Wes Anderson.
I was
undrafted Asteroid City.
Yeah, do that.
All right.
Like, I was tossing up taking it because, like, it is Wes Anderson's film, but
I haven't heard anything about it.
I can't believe Wes Anderson went undrafted.
I would say who's in it, but it's a Wes Anderson film. I know who's in it.
I'm not gonna. I really enjoy doing this year.
Because you think
this
you're gonna
win.
This
was a lot of fun. No. No, I think I'm gonna get fucked by the Little Mermaid and Flash combo with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Transformers.
I was pissed that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
great
got stolen.
Combo,
I think, honestly, I think Chris is a really strong contender.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know I'm seeing at least 2 out of 4 of those films.
When we did this last
the Little
time,
Mermaid.
We like just went in like the same order, didn't we? We didn't.
Serpentine, everything's more fair, I guess.
Yeah. It balances out quite interestingly.
Yeah. I was so happy Indy was on the board when I got it. Indy, the Indian Elemental 1-2 was something I was very happy to have.
I kind of wanted Indy, but I also don't have that much faith in it.
Nah, Indy's going to be great.
Alex, I'm noticing it's going to get people there.
It's going to be something. We'll see.
I'm noticing Alex has all the Disney films.
I've got a lot of Disney films.
You've got all the Disney films that were on the... Oh, yeah. Except for Little Mermaid.
That's, oh, do I really? That's the oh, only my God.
One. You have four the out money of the machine. Five Disney films.
They're a money machine. I've got to back my boys at Disney.
Back the boys at Disney. You know, support the writers on the writer's strike right now, but also back the boys at Disney.
I'm going to take a screenshot of this because it's very nice looking.
Poor old Wes at the bottom. Oh, bless.
Yeah, undrafted Wes Anderson. We'll make this into an Instagram post.
Like it. Good work. Okay. Well, with that, do we want to talk about the film that got picked first?
Yeah, let's do it. What I oh my, I've done something to my computer.
Oh, no. But, that's okay. Alex is crashing. No, he's alive.
It's fine. I accidentally... Huh?
You're all good?
I'll be fine.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I'm Groot?
I think I'll be all right. I've got blue thing. I've got... It just highlights anything that you can click for me. Anyway, who cares?
Marvel released their new film from writer-director James Gunn, the final of the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We're seeing the adventures of the Guardians as they face the repercussions of Avengers Endgame and getting the entirety of Rocket's origin story. I feel like that's the gist of the film. Oh, and Adam Warlock's there now too. Like, that's it. But going off with some ground first impressions, what was everyone's reaction to good old Guardians?
To Rack Origins. It's great.
Put me last because I'm trying to work out how to fix my computer.
All right, well, Alex does that.
You go.
I was going to say, as someone whose favorite Marvel film is the first Guardian and who was severely let down by the second.
Oh,
I was very happy coming out of it. It was definitely better than I was hoping. Considering the run of the Marvel films we've had of late, it was definitely a lot better than I was. I wouldn't say expecting. I wasn't expecting it to be bad, but it was better. It was a lot better than I.
I think, as always, as not a huge fan of the rest of the Marvel movies, the Guardians has always got that extra magic to it. Right? It's always been for me a league above the rest of them, and this one was no different. Except it's a little shaky at the start. I thought.
I need to watch this movie again.
Yeah,
you've seen it multiple times, haven't you?
No, only once.
Only once. I thought you'd see it a second time. Me and Alex both got the feeling at the start of this one, it was a little shaky. There was a bit of like, hey, let's do this. Okay, let's do that. We're going from like bang, bang, bang. But, you know, we got it set up. And I thought as soon as we got to Organ World, things really came together. And for me, that was where the Guardians started. Like, before that, it was like crappy Marvel intro to a movie. I got to be honest. Other than the initial 10 seconds of amazingness, but we'll come back to that.
Here's the thing, Chris.
Yeah.
We came out the movie and I remember you saying that you thought it went from like hardcore Rocket origin scary to fun boppy music.
Yes, and that was my point. We went from this awesome artsy intro.
I went back and listened to the first song of the film. It's a acoustic version of Creep by Radiohead. Yeah. It's not fun and boppy.
It's an acoustic ballad. It's an acoustic ballad. It's definitely very different to the monotone sound, ringing kind of death ear ringing sound. That's the shot before.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah.
I think you hit the nail on the head with this film, like, really highlights itself and everything that works about the Guardians movies with the organ planet. Like,
yes.
I loved the organ planet.
Like, everything about that entire sequence was
it's a butthole.
100% Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's a butthole.
Yeah.
But yes, it was great. That was a
You get every character playing their role in the Guardians perfectly in that time.
Are we spoiling?
I mean, like, I light spoilers, I guess.
I mean, it's been out for almost a week now.
Almost a week. It's a Marvel movie.
We've all seen it.
That's true. Yeah, it's rare that we've all seen it.
The world has seen it.
Probably. That's true. We're hitting a few demographics.
You know, just to be kind, everyone, just at the very, for the first few sentences, everyone just give their basic thoughts and then we can obviously deep dive and then.
Look, like we said, that,
they're fine.
Organ Planet had me grinning, smiling. As soon as we started to explore any of the little thin thematic little parts of that, it was just all grins, all fun. Every little part of it, which they add detail to, is just like hilarious.
Yeah.
A bit of cringe at the Among Us suits.
Yeah, the Among Us suits were a bit weird.
Also, definitely. Was also kind of hysterically laughing inside that they actually went there and it's like such a meme.
Yeah, bless.
They look more like the Space Odyssey suits to me.
And then
they look more like the 2001 Space Odyssey suits to me.
Oh yeah.
Other than the colors,
I think it's just the colors.
Yeah,
give the Among Us vibes.
Yeah, yeah, it's the different colors. And then of course they eject them all out, and you see them in the window. That was certainly an Among Us.
I was like, in the credits, I clocked Nathan Fillion's name, so I was wondering when he was going to pop up, and then like. Second you see his face, like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
He was fun.
Yeah.
Very fun cameo. Yeah, in terms of overall thoughts before we get into more spoilers, I thought this film really had a lot of things that it wanted to do and was jumping between them in quite a whiplash fashion.
I thought that for only the first quarter of the film, up until they got to... Organ Planet.
Yes, yeah. Well put.
I think it's very sort of jumpy at the start.
I thought Organ Planet and everything else after was great.
Yeah, so it really starts to settle into what it's actually going for.
But I will admit, what's his name? Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock.
I thought he very much reminded me of Jason Statham from Fast and Furious 7, where he's kind of not really attached to the main story, but he kind of just shows up every now and then to make life harder for our heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he needs to remind everyone that he's still there.
Now, Fast and Furious 7 had a reason for this. It's because Paul Walker died and they had to merge two movies into one.
I think we mentioned
this one was because Marvel wanted to introduce.
From my understanding, Paul Walker didn't die on
set of Guardians 3.
But with saying that, I thought I really liked him.
He was really underutilized. He was really good. Yeah.
It was just the moments where like we held on him towards the end, like he got his own little climax shot, and it was just like, oh, he wasn't that important. Why are we holding on him?
I thought it was weird. Oh, I can't spoil it.
Yeah, well, not yet, but we will get there.
I thought, look, some jokes didn't land, but I feel like way more landed than, I'd say about, not even 10% of the jokes didn't land.
I think most of
it's definitely on the flip side to Thor: Love and Thunder, where only 10% landed.
I'd rather someone sit there easily and make me watch this 10 times than watch Thor and Love and Thunder once.
Yes, correct.
Flashback sequences about a third of the movie is us looking back.
Gotta say, if you're an animal lover.
It's hard to watch.
Who cried
during this one?
There's quite a few people I've got some thoughts on the flashback stuff. But my main thing is from quite a few people who I've talked to in my friend group, I was talking about it because I know how they feel in regards to animals and everything like that, and animals in films and everything like that. And I warned them of what this film contains, and they said, I guess I can't see that then. Like, they straight up won't see this film now because of the stuff that is in this film, because my God, it's
But Peter
dark.
Loved the film. Peter said it's the best animal rights movie ever.
Oh, yeah, it's...
Peter
it's,
aren't the best animal rights group ever. Just yeah, but FYI, they like, if you don't know about
like
that.
They like this movie. They like this movie, Chris. That's all God. That matters.
They're like, let we don't see anything wrong with what they're doing.
No.
But yeah, it's a rough one. I feel bad for the parents who took their kids like opening weekend. Thinking this was going to be another fun Guardians of the Galaxy film. When half of the movie is a fun Guardians of the Galaxy film and the other half is animal torture porn.
Can we mention quickly, not just the animal torture, there's a few shots which were a little brutal and had me going, is this MA15 plus? Because it's not, right?
It feels like James Gunn really gave someone pushed a tuggy boundaries. Behind the set and it got his way a bit more.
There are movies.
He was on his way out. He didn't care.
Yeah, there are much tamer movies than this, even out right now, that have much more serious ratings.
He had much more. He's like, I had a lot of fun having an R-rated Suicide Squad movie. I'm just gonna try and bring a little bit of that.
Honestly, that's what it felt like. It's really what it felt like.
Yeah, one shot that stuck out to me, where a certain character was killed on impact and then was also underwater, and then another character immediately stabbed a knife into their face. It was very in your face. And I was like, whoa, okay, he's dead. Like, this is a superhero movie.
And literally, they weren't even subtle about it, because literally, like, moments before, is like, the whole, like, oh, we're both going to die. It's like, nah, only one of us.
He meant that.
It's like, he literally...
Let's get into some spoilies so that we can talk more freely.
Can I mention something if we're going into spoilers? Yeah. The first thing, I messaged this to Chris, after I figured it out, because when I saw the movie and Groot says, I love you guys, and none of them react, I was just like, that was a bit strange. No one reacted. He said something different than I am Groot. And then I read that James Gunn said, no, that's us hearing Groot the way the Guardians hear Groot for the first time, because we spent so much time with Groot.
It's translated.
So, which explains 100% why none of them reacted, because he just said, I am Groot.
Don't think that came across at all. Brayden's
going to come in and be like, nope.
I really don't think that came across at all. I think I would have preferred if we just got I am Groot and subtitles. Also, this was just Vin Diesel sounding like Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it came across.
No audio effects on his voice whatsoever.
When Alex mentioned it, I liked it. I liked the idea of it.
It makes sense, but I didn't get that in the scene.
I would like to see it again, because a lot of people were like, yeah, we understood that. So it's 50-50.
Yeah.
A lot of people got that, and I just went, okay. Because someone asked him that. Someone said, because none of them react, and it's true. None of them react.
Yeah, it's completely
which
normal.
To me, it's makes
weird.
It feel more like it does come across, because that is exactly what would happen in that situation.
Mm. They cut away from it pretty quickly, though, from what I remember.
Mm.
But they held on it. Someone posted it to Twitter.
It pans out, doesn't it?
And I watched it. It pans out.
I've
been dissecting the movie to Twitter.
Having mentioned the violence and getting into flashback spoilers.
Yeah.
Very brutal
spoiler
scenes.
Time if you don't want to listen. Go.
Very brutal flashback scenes. We mentioned the horror elements. Opening shot of the film, very creepy.
Yep.
And if I can redeem what I said, I didn't like how that swapped to opening ballad, where maybe it wasn't so happy as what I said. Yeah. And when we got back to flashbacks, like, they didn't hold back. Specifically when Rocket escaped. And there was death, there was shooting, and it was so powerful. Oh my god! Yeah. When Rocket pulls his sidearm and shoots the guards coming in, and they obviously shoot back, and there's a situation.
Yeah,
we're in spoilers now.
So everyone dies.
He shoots the guards. The guards shoot at him and kill all his friends around him.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything like that in a Marvel movie, and that was like the most. Epic moment in a good way.
That whole sequence of him just losing everyone is sad.
I've never hated a villain more when he was mocking Rocket's crime.
He was a really good villain. Shout out to that actor, because he was scary and unhinged.
He had
layers to him. Like the thing that came in, literally. The part how he had this hatred for Rocket because Rocket was smarter than him. I loved that. Just under the kind of his subconscious that Rocket worked out how to get the machine working.
Yeah, and also just like his line of like there is no God, that's why I stepped in or something. Like that when he yells that line, you're just like. Damn, I get this guy's entire deal.
They've never made a more hateable villain, in my opinion.
That's true.
just because he, you know, tortures animals.
Oh, he literally tortures animals.
Yeah, and him and Rocket even had a bit of meshed origin because he Rocket obviously caused the damage to his face, which was extensive damage.
That was
when he takes off, it reminds me of Red Skull.
The most brutal scene I've seen in an MCU movie in a long time.
Yeah.
Was Rocket just clawing to shit at his face.
Yeah.
And when they show his revealing face, his face where his mouth still has flaps and like
from where he bit.
It reminded I'm thinking of I was as shocked as like seeing Two-Face back in Dark Knight. And his tongue is kind of hanging out through through the side of his open face.
Horrifying.
And I'm thinking that was rated quite highly.
Yeah.
There was MA for sure.
So not only was there that, there was also like just extensive violence, which was magically healed by sci-fi med packs.
Yes, they were a bit cliche.
And Adam Warlock Guardians absolutely melting that dude. Warlock, absolutely Raiders of the Lost Arking that one guy.
All the Guardians took some fucking hits.
Yeah.
Drax copped it fucking bad.
There was brutality to when the magical med pack is not working on Rocket and it's kind of glitching out. That was horrific. Like, he's like seizuring.
I think this is the best that Chris Pratt has been.
Agreed.
As Star-Lord. especially towards the middle and later parts of the film.
I agree.
His drunk acting was very standard drunk acting.
Yeah, I got to be honest. As it opened up, I was like, what is Chris Pratt doing? And then as soon as we got into it, as soon as he flirted with Nebula about her, I think he was there.
That was where we were.
I was like, okay, we're back with Star-Lord. He's not being super awkward.
Back onto like the organ planet and Chris Pratt. It's when him constantly, just like the little, like the ongoing joke of him like constantly flirting with the chick until the end. And she's like, yeah, I told you she digged me.
Yep.
Like just before they bail out.
Yeah.
That got me. Because I was not expecting that line. I was just like, he just stood up. I was like, yeah, I told you she dug me. And just walked off.
Yeah. And even I was getting ready for, oh, what is he going to say to these guys? Like, where is this going to go? I'm like, oh, yep.
That was so good.
Awesome.
I was so happy that shows character turned out of the way.
Exactly.
Because it's the type of shit that he would have done in the first film.
I thought that they handled Gamora and his relationship perfectly.
Yep.
Especially because that's a situation where the Russo brothers just called him and said, "We're thinking about doing this with Gamora. How do you feel?" And James Gunn just went, "I guess I'll work it in."
Yep.
So for something that happened to one of his characters in a whole other film, I thought he was able to bring her in and make a storyline with her and Star-Lord that was fantastic.
Yeah.
It ended exactly how it
should. I honestly, also with that whole, it shows a lot between in that relationship, but also back to Chris Pratt. Like, all his like really emotional stuff, he was great. Like every time, like him just like...
When we thought Rocket died.
Not wanting to lose Rocket. His like, actual like being vulnerable to Gamora about how they like, what they had and how he misses it. It was really good.
Adam Warlock,
underutilized.
Like I said,
not used.
Underutilized. Definitely weird, seeing as he was teased in a post-credit scene.
Yeah,
in Guardians 2. Yep.
And then to have such a small role in something—it's a bit.
I really thought his motivation for joining the Guardians to take down the bad guy would have been the fact that they essentially killed his mum.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been his. Yeah.
He more came to like an internal kind of answer to what was going on.
I feel like his entire like change was like, I was about to kill you and then you saved me. So I guess I'm going to rethink everything about myself.
Yeah, I guess it was that thing like he did lose his mother. He's looking for some direction now. He's growing up. He's working out what's actually going on in the world. Oh, these Guardians aren't so bad. Why did they save me? What?
His relationship with that little animal almost saved him for me. That was very fun. When she's like, I'm going to kill him, he's like, don't be rash.
Yeah. Oh, he was... I really liked the like style that they put on how Poulter played Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I'm kind of like, when we got to the very, 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 very end of the film and we get a Star-Lord will return, I was a little...
because he's going to be an Avenger.
The legendary
Star-Lord. Yeah, that's what that is.
But, like, I just didn't care. Like,
I'm on, super on board with him being a part of the Avengers now he's Earth-based.
Yeah.
And I honestly came out of this movie being like, I'm happy Chris Pratt didn't die. I would like to see more of this character.
Yeah, opinion of like going into this film when James Gunn was coming out and being like, this is Rocket's movie. These films have always been about Rocket. It's like, well, no, this film is about Rocket, but they've always been about Star-Lord. Yeah. Like every single Guardians film has been about Star-Lord as a person.
Yeah.
And so getting to that, I was like, oh, I would have liked to have, you know, teased seeing a little bit more of, you know, one of the other characters or like seeing what's up with them.
Well, I think we will see more of, I think the only ones we probably won't see any more of are Batista and Nebula. Because those two actors have come out and straight up said we're not going to be in anymore.
Yeah, without James Gunn.
I still think we're going to have Bradley Cooper because he's literally leading the Guardians.
I hope so.
I think Will Poulter's more than a one movie deal.
I would assume so, Warlock. Because like Warlock is a very powerful person. So in the terms of the overall MCU.
Oh, and Gamora. We won't see Gamora again. I really liked her ending that she was like, I do have my family. Yeah. My family's with
the Ravagers.
The Ravagers. That was great.
One person who I didn't expect to love their ending and I absolutely adored it was Batista, was Drax's ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Where
it felt
where
a
it was,
little...
You weren't born to be a destroyer, you were born to be a dad.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Mm. Yeah. And it really reminded me of his beginnings. And I really he doesn't really mention his family. He doesn't mention his family much since the first one. Like,
yeah, I was going to make the same point. That goes full circle because the whole reason he wants revenge is because he lost his daughter and wife.
It's a wife and daughter, yeah.
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 So it felt a little bit like a last minute Hail Mary of, oh, let's wrap up Drax's.
I agree with that.
The way it's like, oh yeah, it did bring a full circle with him accepting being a dad again in that role.
I didn't say it was a dropped Hail Mary. I just said it was a Hail Mary because it was very last minute. Like, okay, cool. We're going to now in this final sort of act, we're going to start introducing that like, Mantis saying that he's stupid and then making him forget and all that
stuff.
Well,
I think...
Like, leading up until that moment where it's like, no, like, we respect Drax because he's smarter than what we think he is and he's also a really caring person. So... But, like, I thought they tied it up nicely. It was just very, hey, and Drax.
I don't really agree with the hey and Drax part of that. I think that it was set up and played throughout the film and the series. Of how he does interact with Nebula, especially over the course of the second film, which totally done a 180 on. I really enjoy that second film now.
Yeah, you really did. Swap
I do
on
need
that,
to
hey.
Go rewatch that.
And I thought Drax is one of that surprisingly got me emotional more than anything. Especially seeing him finally dance with the kids, because obviously he's always had that running thing throughout the series that he doesn't dance. He's Please stated dancing is for idiots.
Yeah.
I thought that outro.
He doesn't dance, but he does a great monkey impression.
I did love the evolution from 80s, 90s, getting into the 2000s.
Oh, the Florence and Machine song.
That just sort of as a, we're closing out this century that we were in. And we're really pushing through to the next one. I really liked that.
When I say 5% or almost 10% of the humor didn't work, a lot of that comes from Cosmo.
Bless.
I thought the good dog joke wear thin after the second time.
Yeah, it didn't need to go that long. And it's like, cool, you made that the entire character arc over the entire film for Craglin and Cosmo.
Craglin.
But.
Poor Craglin. Craglin gets... he had a great, nice little scene. Talk about a Hail Mary. His Hail Mary scene, seeing Yondu.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was really on the nose. It's just like, hey, here you go. This is your character arc done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also feel like they just wanted Michael Rooker in there for some aspect.
Yeah.
Just to get him in all the films. So they got him in there.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Russian Dog?
Yeah, Cosmo. Yeah, Cosmo. Wasn't a fan of Russian Dog.
Cosmo, the joke got a little old, but I loved the character. Yeah. I love the idea as well.
I mean, how could you not love Cosmo as a thing?
I thought the scene where we saw him literally almost like cut over, there's a shot where they pan to them working on Rocket.
Yeah.
And he's cut open like that.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the biggest, like, whoa, we're going for it.
Yeah. And the overall design of the bunny of Floor.
The bunny was scary.
That was horrifying.
It's really fucked up.
The other two weren't as bad, and then the bunny sort of just comes out, and the bunny reminded me of something from Toy Story 1 that Sid threw to
me.
It reminds me of the baby that whole head scene, on the spider.
The whole scene reminded me of that. I think that was inspo for sure, the baby head on the spider.
it's just that where I go, kids are taking kids are going to see this film.
Kids are taking their parents to see this.
That's the most fucked up part of the film, I would say.
Yeah,
it is
definitely.
I can't believe it's rated M with the face peel.
I almost cried. All right, this is the only part in the film the face peel when it that little flap is everyone in the theater
realizes she's
going to peel
it
at
off,
her
it's
to
like,
grab it.
Yes.
Yep. Face off. Face off. Face off. Face off. He said it so many times.
Off.
Get it? Face off. He said face off. And they peeled his face off.
Off.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Comedy.
You had one gripe or bad thought?
No, I can't remember. I really
You mentioned the 10% of the jokes that weren't landing.
Yeah. Wow.
The sea of children.
The one part I almost cried and it almost got me was when Rocket finds the little raccoon.
Yeah.
Just those little fucking raccoons in general look so scared.
Yeah.
In the beginning. That was so that touched me. That got me.
Yeah. Touched you with the little raccoon hands.
I was like, this is not how Star-Lord's dying.
Yes.
It was half
a second
where I thought he was dying.
to me, I thought he was actually dead. His face.
He actually started experiencing decompression and freezing. With Princess Leia, nothing happened.
I know. But the rescue, sort of the rescue and flying back. The whole overall gave me Princess Leia vibes. But actually,
that's the reason why
anyone asking
Will Poulter was
why is no one grabbing him? Because there are 1,000 ways that they could save him right now, but no one's moving.
They proved that Groot went out to grab him and he froze.
But
and then that was
also my question is then, what happened to Star-Lord's helmet and boots? Because I feel the only reason
they've addressed this. So this has been addressed.
Okay, please.
They left nowhere very quickly to get out of there.
Yeah.
His helmet is in the drawer. In his room that he was staying in, his helmet was in there. They had to get out of nowhere. His boots don't exist anymore. His boots don't exist anymore because Rocket built everyone jetpacks. Okay. They all have jetpacks, and he doesn't use the boots anymore because the jetpacks are better.
There are no jetpacks.
Where were the jetpacks?
To save him. It's like we're all just going to watch him die. Groot's the only one reaching out.
Yeah,
we have 1,000 ways or little vessels or anything we could do here.
Rope. Here's a question. Does Nebula have lungs that need oxygen?
Surely not.
There's.
She runs on motor oil or something.
Alex, you getting a phone call?
Yeah, I am.
But yeah, once we realized that Star-Lord definitely wasn't dying right there and then, that was nice. Because I was like, okay, that would have been really weird.
Hey, I think if he died going back for a Zune, I think that would have been iconic.
One of the things we haven't spoken about, which is probably the best action scene in Marvel history, was the corridor fight to No Sleep.
It was awesome.
Oh, yes.
Terrible song choice. Why are we getting 2 Chris Pratt films with No Sleep Till Brooklyn? What the fuck is happening?
I enjoyed it.
It was great. It worked perfectly.
I really enjoyed it. Sorry.
I was not on board.
I like the Beastie Boys.
I know. I like the Beastie Boys, but
yeah,
they have other songs.
The
What was the other movie with No Sleep Till Brooklyn?
As Super Mario Bros. Used fucking No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Did they even? Did they? Oh, who cares? Okay,
who's
they can
seen,
more
who's
than
seen
one.
That? Come on.
If it, yeah, that the scene.
The scene itself where is very good.
Nebula gets the shit kicked out of her, and it pans around, and she's fixing
just
herself.
Putting it back together.
They like it's like a 360 around her as her neck breaks like towards the camera.
Up,
it's amazing.
Upside down off the back, and then it pops back up and flips her arm back around, and shit.
As her arms are reconstructing as well.
Yeah,
that was top tier Marvel.
Yeah, that entire fight scene is very good.
Rocket as well was kicking so much ass when he came back.
It was good to see Rocket and Groot team back up, like, in a physical way.
Mm.
Like, also...
I thought Groot worked.
Grievous moment.
Yeah. Groot's Grievous moment.
His head... It was more like the Thing moment with the head running around.
I was hoping we were going to get more time of that, but that really went away quite quickly.
He goes quick
I like
now.
In the next scene, you can see him making the outline. Of
slowly, building back up.
And so then when he does the big, when he turns big to scare them all off, like, that's him extending himself out as well.
Yeah.
I like that. And then obviously I like the Groot we get at the very, very, very end where he's fucking gigantic.
So
big Groot.
I love thick Groot. We love thick
How
Groot.
How many C's? How many C's are we given thick Groot?
At least three.
Three C's on thick Groot.
One for every branch.
But yeah, he was a thick lad. Also shout out to the visual effects of this film. A hell of a lot better than Ant-Man.
A hell of a lot better than the last 10 Marvel projects.
Oh yeah. Groot is full what makes him to end up as the head when he's full stretching and rotating around the villain before it all kind of like burns up.
Yeah.
All of that brilliant, like visually.
Mm. They did a good job.
I thought it was a really solid film. I'm a 4 out of 5. I'm a solid 4 out of 5. Want to see it again, and just to see what I would love to see it. I'm hoping you can still get a packed theater for it. So I'd love to go see it with a packed theater to see what hits and what doesn't.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff hit because when me and Jimmy went and saw it, it was a Saturday night packed theater. So quite a lot hit from memory. Like quite a lot of loud laugh.
But I want to experience
Go for it.
Honorable mention of the cameo on the organ planet. You guys know what his name is?
Yeah, Nathan Fillion. He really tied together how good that entire scene was.
A lot of Suicide Squad.
Who's the moron of this group?
Cameo.
We've got one of those.
Oh, was there other Suicide Squad people in it?
Oh, yeah. Ratcatcher 2. Is the girl that Quill's floating with. Pete Davidson's in the movie.
Where's he?
He plays a random alien.
Oh,
Nathan Fillion, Suicide Squad. Stallone, obviously, Suicide Squad.
Oh, Stallone James was Gunn. Interesting.
James Gunn's wife was the lady that Gamora shoots in the leg. Obviously, she's from Suicide Squad. Who else? There was a few people.
I'm getting the sense that James Gunn is really vying for Tim Burton's like cast favorite kind of nepotism type vibe. Like,
but he only puts her in roles she works in though. Yeah, but all directors do that. Tarantino does it. Nolan does it.
You're naming
they all do
directors
it.
I'm not massive fans of.
Seems
Tarantino, Nolan, Wes Anderson does it. Seth Burden does it.
Pete Davidson is one of the goons in the bad guy's ship.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought he was a carrot guy for a second.
Oh, carrot guy would have been funny.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, a lot of it worked for me and I enjoyed a lot of it.
I'd say most of it worked for me. There were, like, I thought tonally. It was a bit too much of a whiplash for me and a little bit too dark for what I was expecting, but that's James Gunn making the film that James Gunn wants to make, which I respect him for actually being able to get past Marvel and Disney people. So
I think it's hard.
Yeah, they really like
respect for that.
It felt more like a James Gunn movie before it did a Marvel film.
Yeah, I'm still very nervous,
which was a nice breath of fresh air,
but we'll see.
No, I think it's going to be great. I love James Gunn.
Good for you.
Yeah. Anyone else got anything to say about Guardians?
I was just going to say, as dark as it was, I thought all of Rocket Black was great.
Glad that none of them died.
Yeah. Love the darkness, though.
Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought love that was the violence.
Because even leading up to it, a lot of, we said it a few times.
I would have put money that Rocket died.
Yeah.
I would have put money on Rocket or Drax dying. Mm.
Yeah, the fact that died was a bit of a, like, we've just had this incredibly dark film, so we're going to give you a happy ending.
I'm happy they all got their happy ending.
They all got, because I think the fact that they all sort of had something bad going on when they all met, or not having a best time. It's great, good that it rounded out into they all had a good ending.
And I think Quill needs a break. Obviously, Yondu died, then Gamora's dead.
Yeah, like it makes sense that he is in such a
have Rocket die.
Yeah, I loved that he just ended up going back to see his grandpa.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, like being where he's at now.
I like the end credit scene where he's like, why do I have to mull? He's got a 41-year-old grandson. Why can't he do it?
Yeah.
I thought that worked and that was funny.
That's fun. What was I gonna say? I had something on the tip of my tongue. One question which may have colored my thoughts on the film in general. Did anyone else know Rocket's origin story at all going into this?
Nah.
No.
Okay. Because I feel like that may have colored how I viewed the film, because I did know that going in. So...
Is it mentioned? Because I feel like I knew he was some sort of effed up experiment.
Yeah. You know that from the past James Gunn stuff. But his whole actual experience there with Lila the Otter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that may have just colored my opinion on that entire side of the story. So
whoever they got to voice act really young Rocket was great too.
Sean Gunn.
That was amazing.
No, there was three. There was one younger than Sean.
Oh.
There was a little kid Rocket who was the one that's going thems.
Yeah,
I thought that one was Sean.
Now, Sean Gunn was the one that watched Lila die.
Oh, okay.
When he explains how to fix the machine, his little voice.
Oh.
I also barely understood a word he said in that sentence.
He said technical mumbo jumbo.
That's it.
You gotta put this.
Oh, and
this.
Marvel's first F bomb. Marvel's first F bomb as well.
Which was actually really good placement for it.
Over a door.
Really casual.
Very funny as well.
Yeah.
And real life situation.
Yeah. It wasn't just someone screaming fuck.
Yeah. It was real life simple frustration moment.
Yep.
Definitely something that anyone would have said in that moment.
Yeah. That was the most believable F-bomb I've heard in a film for a while.
Yeah.
And then
it wasn't scripted.
Added to the
Chris Pratt just did it.
They obviously didn't understand. They'd never been in a car before.
Chris Pratt just did it and they got it approved by Marvel, so they went for it. Which is very nice, because I think that's them kind of slowly going into the fact that we're going to have Deadpool. So expect an F-bomb in most Marvel films from now on, because he'll get it.
Yeah, I will. He's going to make up for all the ones we haven't had. And he's going to point fun at it.
If we get a Deadpool in Secret Wars, then he gets the one F-bomb in that film.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me that level of violence in all Marvel movies now, and I'm ready.
Give me animal torture in all of these Marvel
not
movies.
Not the animal torture.
No.
Not the animal torture.
Just Christian. The face melting. And
just the face melting and the face peeling and the shooting.
I can't believe how long they held on his face unpeeled.
The consequences to actions. Shocking. And, there's death
in
everyone
should watch Peacemaker. He's in Peacemaker. He's great in Peacemaker.
The actor?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Another James Gunn guy that he just found in Peacemaker. I'm okay with it if they're all great actors.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso and one other TV show that I want to quickly mention as well.
And Succession.
Oh, well, that wasn't it, but are you sure?
Chris, have you up to date with Succession?
I am.
Okay. We'll quickly do Ted Lasso. Is everyone up to date with Ted Lasso?
Yes.
My parents almost are.
was this latest episode the one with the leaked photos?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not up to date with Ted Lasso.
Oh. You don't have the Keely fappening situation?
No, no. What's this?
Okay. No. Okay. So you're not up to date with Ted Lasso. So we won't really speak too much about Ted Lasso then.
I don't know if you were hearing me and Chris talking about it earlier, but because I've now caught up on the last show. My favorite Roy moment now is the little cackling he does with the red string that's tied around the nuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just constantly. Then they get back and he's drawing up the diagram for like.
He's made it even more complicated.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, the newest episode's also just the first miss of the season.
Oh, okay.
I was.
Yeah.
You can spoil it if it's if you want. I don't mind that much if it's a shitty episode.
It was just a whole episode about Keely was back in the day someone got their cloud hacked or their phone hacked and a sex tape of Keely got leaked online. Amongst with a lot of other people. It was like a big, you remember the fappening situation that happened a few years ago when people like Jennifer Lawrence got all their shit leaked online?
Yeah.
It was awful. So that happened, like a version of that event happens.
Mm.
And then the whole episode's kind of just like,
jeez, that's
everyone.
Jennifer Lawrence got leaked online? That's horrible. Yep. Where could I see that to avoid it? Where is that?
There are so many of those websites. Like, which one? Which one?
You're about a decade too late.
Oh, one of those websites where they leak ex-girlfriend's new photos. But there's so many of them. Which one?
Which one?
Sorry, that's a Always Sunny reference.
Yep.
So yeah, that happens, and then the whole episode's like a bunch of other characters kind of blaming Keely for it. Well, not blaming Keely, kind of being like, Keely needs to apologize for this. And then yeah, it's a lot of telling us what the right, like, it was almost like a lecture episode.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is what to do.
It's
this
like,
is
hey,
the right.
Don't victim blame. These and are then the we things had, that yeah. you should do.
We had Ted reading into the situation as like a different situation as well.
Yeah. I also just looked it up. It is literally the lowest episode, like by a country mile.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, I feel like Ted's development in this episode's all right. He's still just dealing with the fact that, like, his ex has moved on and he's sort of like overthinking everything and stuff. But I think he's, you know, it's just progression in his story.
Here's a fun fact. It is rated lower than the Coach Beard episode.
Ooh. Okay. This is a shocker then.
Yeah. So every season's got one.
What season one?
I don't think season one's got one. I was being nice. season one, cool.
Talking to a few people we're out after Gemma's graduation, they were all not high on season three until the Netherlands.
Oh, I love all of season three. Netherlands episode's fantastic.
A lot of people are just they're all just like, it's so disjointed, like, it's not like
people do, yeah, it's because we had the Zava arc and then they started off doing really well because we had Zava.
There's a lot of arcs.
Yeah.
And then now we went on a long stretch. Now we're back up to having a four win streak.
Yeah. And there was like the really crazy games even before Zava with all the like red cards, yellow cards and stuff.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of the crazy like football stuff going on.
We had a bit of Nate in this past episode too.
McKay with Nate. I'm happy we're doing stuff with Nate. Very happy Nate's getting like a character. More Nate date.
Hey.
Nate relationship.
Ooh, we're liking this.
Mm. Quickly, Chris, while we're talking before we let Brayden have the floor, Succession. You've watched the latest episode from yesterday?
I have. And whoa.
It was a Shiv and Tom affair.
Some characters,
wasn't it?
Some characters flipped last episode. Now they flipped back.
Oh yeah. We got some flip floppers. Chris, what was your favorite aspect of this episode?
I don't even know really. I Shiv and Tom's big argument
outside that was
really big, and then
acting grand.
It was really because it hit me like the shot of Tom then sleeping, lying alone in his bed.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, the night before him and Shiv obviously lying together, having being yeah. in this like honeymoon phase of having gotten back together. And it all fell apart at one party.
One party.
Yeah.
And just because Tom was tired, no one's letting Tom. Ali literally went around the party just talking about how Tom's going to get fired.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I love that Tom got great. That was a great Tom moment to me, because Tom just went, you were going to let me go to prison and you were okay with that.
Yeah.
That was great. And him just being like, I've tried feeling you with like appreciation and love, but you're broken.
Mm. It was a big kind of follow up to last episode where a lot was said between Tom and Shiv. And on Tom's side, it still felt like, you know, he's still hurting here. Like,
yeah.
And, yeah, it really showed that he wasn't okay with it, everything. And, like,
and to me, it was still like, you could saw how much he cared about her when she said, oh, I've never loved you.
Yeah.
Or like, when, and you saw the pain on him when she said that.
Yeah.
Whereas everything, you know, Tom, you saw pain and general sadness. When you look at her in that scene, it's just anger.
Mm.
It is just like rage.
Yeah, and Tom had a great moment where he's telling everyone to leave his house.
Yeah, please survive.
Hey, you see everyone, and there's like a bit of laughter in the room. Like, no, party's over. Please leave my home.
And they're like, hi.
And
he's
then
like,
he repeats
off.
Like five times, like, no. Get the fuck out. Like, yeah. it's great.
Kendall just kind of being anything he can do to destroy this deal.
Yep. And great Greg and Skarsgård.
Oh, Greg. Oh, you're the guy.
Greg, he's kind of perfect because he's like young and doesn't have a heart or a soul.
Yeah.
And Skarsgård, like,
yeah,
guy.
Like, I just fired him.
What's his name? Mads is his name? Madison?
No, Alexander. Oh, Madison.
Yeah, Madison.
Lucas Madison.
His name in the show is Madison, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And he's faking some numbers.
Yeah, he is. I'm surprised that when Greg was impressing him with how much of an asshole it is, he didn't mention him suing Greenpeace.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great episode. This is a really good party vibe.
Yeah. Very excited for next week. I saw the preview for next week. It's the election episode. So we're going to spend the whole time during the election, like as votes are coming in.
And Connor discussing becoming like the ambassador, but like it has to be a shitty country that doesn't matter or they won't give him the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, what about somewhere with nukes? North Korea? He's like, no.
He's like, look,
Connor,
they're not
going to
give you anywhere
with nukes.
What's the country he ends up asking his wife to move
to? Starts with an O, right? It's a rich man's Yemen, poor man
Oman.
Dubai.
Yeah.
Oman.
They're like Oman. He's like rich man's Yemen, poor man Saudi Arabia. brilliant.
But yeah, Succession still been great. Brayden, wrap us up with what you've been watching.
Cool. I want to wrap you up with I went through and I watched all of the Star Wars Vision Volume 2 short films that they released. If for those of you who aren't aware, Star Wars Visions is a series, is an anthology series on Disney Plus, in which different studios from originally just anime studios, but now in season two going into other studios from around the world, they get to take the ideas and sort of aesthetics and, well, not even that, they just sort of get to play around with their own original Star Wars stuff. They really get to do whatever they want and aren't held back in any way. So we get some really original takes on, like, things we've seen in Star Wars a bunch, like lightsabers and spaceships and all that crap. I wanted to run through each episode from this season, one saying the studio and sort of roughly where they're from, if I have it here, and what I thought of it very, very quickly. So first off is an episode called Sith, which is from El Guero. It doesn't say anything of what that studio in particular have done, but there's a lot of Pixar veterans and Disney veterans. It's computer animated. It looks a bit like Into the Spider-Verse-y with its visual aesthetic. It's very artsy. I thought it was fine. It's a decent start. It's far more visual than anything else going on. The second one by Cartoon Saloon, who you may know from Wolfwalkers, that wonderful animated movie. I believe they're from the UK or Ireland, like somewhere around there. Their episode was excellent. Really, really, really good. Screech's Reach blends the line of like really cute animation for kids and families and then like truly horrifying, like really fucking scary, dark. Like, my God, I was not expecting it from the earlier parts of the episode, but it was really, really good. I should really watch Wolfwalkers apparently, because apparently that's an excellent animated film. Third one from Chilean-based studio Punk Robot. It's kind of like CGI meets stop-motion animation, and it's cool. It's also quite dark. It's very family-oriented. It's very much like, oh, the Empire, they're ruining our land and everything, you know, your usual climate change metaphor type stuff. But I thought that one was good. A seriously, like, excellent episode for a completely different take on Star Wars. The one from Aardman Animation, makers of Wallace and Gromit, and that Chicken Run and Chicken Run, yeah, Chicken Run. With their new one coming out soon, it was really nice going back and watching a new Aardman thing because they are incredible at what they do with stop motion. And it's just a really fun episode. It's really silly and really wholesome. I really liked it. Getting through it, Studio Mir brought very much of an, like, it was kind of just anime. It was back to anime. That studio's worked on things like Legend of Korra and stuff before. I thought that was a really good episode, but it is just more anime style. Studio La Cachette, a French studio doing hand-drawn animation, is excellent. It feels like if Andor was animated and French. And it's seriously really good. They also did Primal, if anyone is familiar with that. That's from the same person who did Samurai Jack back in the day, I believe.
Right.
But yeah, that one's really cool because just on its own, it is like a spy espionage type thing. But imagine if, what's that bloody Cirque du Soleil? Imagine if Cirque du Soleil and Burlesque had like spy espionage elements to it that were trying to take down the Empire, and it was French and hand drawn. Beautiful. Very, very good. 88 Pictures. This one was fine. This one is The Bandits of Glouc. It's all Indian and like Indian inspired from Indian culture and everything. Apparently they did work on Scoob and Troll Hunters, but this is very visually different. So I thought it was fine. It's fine. Almost done. D'Art, they did a truly actual anime episode. Fun fact about this one, one of the main characters' voices is David Diggs.
That's a bit of fun.
Yeah, which was really fun. The second he started talking, I was like, holy shit, is that David Diggs? And it was. So that was really good. And also really comments on slavery and everything like that. It's quite a good episode. And then lastly, from Triggerfish, who I'm not familiar with anything else that they've done, but they also have this very like CGI meets stop motion meets like felt looking textures, like material. Absolutely visually beautiful. This is an absolutely stunning short film that is really child friendly, like family friendly, and is a really, really fun take on like the Force and everything. Oh, there you go. Apparently they're a leading animation studio in Africa. So that's great. And yeah, I absolutely love that one. So that's my very quick rundown of Star Wars Visions. Some of them are definitely worth checking out more than others. I feel like I liked more in season two than I actually really liked in season one. So
that's good.
Yeah. But yeah, the one from the team that did Wolfwalkers Cartoon Saloon, doing Screech's Reach, highly recommend everyone check that out because it is really good. And that's it. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Sorry for taking over the podcast for the final second, but I know I'm the only one who's in a Star Wars mood. I've also been playing heaps of Jedi Survivor.
I have that game. I've played none of it.
Oh my god, I love it.
I'm yet to pick it up.
It's real good.
I have been playing the buggy mess that is AFL 23.
Oh, don't worry.
Have they updated it yet?
Jedi Survivor is also buggy mess. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But just not as buggy mess as finish now, AFL people. 23.
How hard is it to release a finished game?
Apparently very
really
hard.
Really very hard.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, we did it.
But we can release a finished podcast and you can subscribe to it on YouTube. And subscribe there, give it a like, leave a comment, maybe recommend it to your friends. Or if you prefer audio podcasts, you can check out the audio version of the show on your podcast service of choice, whether that be, you know, Spotify, Apple, the whole shebang.
Apple again.
You can, if you can, leave a review over there. That'd be really appreciated. You can follow us on socials. As Alex said, you'll see a Insta of our picks for the summer box office draft or the movies draft or whatever we call it. And this is a long episode now, but you can add Michael on Facebook. We did it. And as always,
Adam on Facebook. I'm Alex.
I'm Braden.
I'm Christian.
And I'm Michael.
And we're out of here. Goodbye, you filthy animal.
Goodbye.